that there were different specialists. They said to me, oh, you have to do this, you have to take tablets, you have to do blah, blah, blah. So I refused from everything. I just worked with mental techniques. With mental techniques and like believing in certain things. And at the end of the day, with help, of course, of, let's say, spiritual guidance, I got rid of that. But it was like really terrible. The pride of, let's say, for your child. And that is the biggest victory for me, spiritual. And I feel strong that I could talk to my inner, let's say, shadows.
The Fearless and Successful podcast is hosted by your Hype Girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started.
And I will record it with, well, maybe just for our stories.
Yes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, fearless people. And welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so excited to have this strong, powerful woman on the pod, because it's rarely right now that I actually reach out to someone and say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? We get such a crazy invitations from all around the world. But this woman really struck me. I met her in person here in Stockholm. She's now located in Tallinn, Estonia. And you guys know how much I love Tallinn. And I reach out to this woman and I said, you have to be on my podcast. Because you guys, you're going to hear her story. She's such a powerhouse. And I welcome Oksana Haradi to Fearless and Successful. Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much for invitation. I'm very, very touched from all my heart. And I appreciate, and I'm very, very happy to spend this morning with you.
So amazing. I would love to do this in Tallinn, you know, but maybe we'll have an opportunity to do another session or another recording when we meet in Tallinn. So you guys, get ready, because get ready to be inspired by this strong, powerful woman. So Oksana, tell me.
That's a responsibility to
Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility. So I don't even know, like she's very multifaceted, an artist, an entrepreneur, advocate for women empowerment, songwriter, just amazing human being who really is so humble, and she does amazing things to empower women, to make women feel more empowered from the inside out and more beautiful from the inside out, right? And so tell me, like, how does it feel to be Oksana?
Oh, Diana, good question. I think that is the question that we actually have during our whole lifetime being. What is it to be yourself? Yeah? What is it to be Oksana? Oksana is a woman who is constantly searching and moving towards herself. Sometimes the direction is not exactly where she should be, but I think that's the way that we actually get the experience on this earth. And sometimes We're confused. Sometimes we think that we're weak. Sometimes we think that we're lost. But I think that if you just keep on going, even sometimes when you feel that you don't even understand like how to make the second step, but you're just going. So, and you will definitely reach that harmonious destination. I'm not there yet, fully. I think that's a lifetime journey, I think. But I hope it will happen.
Yeah, I love that you say like harmony, you know. Sometimes we love to talk about life work balance, especially like you, you know, running such a international and we're going to talk about your company before we dive into the today's topic. Especially when you run teams and you have kids and you have families and you have such a big responsibility towards others, sometimes it's really hard to find that harmony because it's always someone else that needs your care and attention, right? So it's like really finding peace within and being the leader of your own life. It's I think that's the harmony, because sometimes it is like it gets disrupted because you have such a big responsibility towards others and you have to be centered and find that harmony and peace within.
It's true, and we actually have, I think most of people have that kind of, let's say, social task, yes, and then we forget really like what do we need inside us, and sometimes we take it for egoism maybe, yes,
right.
Because we think, oh, I have to concentrate on myself, I have to do my own things, and so you blame yourself for being an egoist. But at the end of the day, if you are not that egoist, then you cannot even share anything with others. So if something is out of balance inside you, so nothing comes around you. So it's true. And that's actually the long way to that process and that point, I think. So you're right.
For sure. Like I think like especially for women listening to this now, it's not selfish to put yourself first. I think a lot of us, especially moms and other women, we tend to put everyone else first and we forget about ourselves. It's like it's not selfish, it's not egoistic. You have to fill your cup first and then you can serve others. So yeah, I think that's so on point. It's not egoistic, it's important.
That's true, yes. And the feeling of guilt, I know that it's very
so true,
widespread among all of us, yes. So once we start like thinking, okay, now it's time to concentrate on something which is not actually others' concern, mm-hmm. So we have the feeling of guilt.
Yeah, so
that,
true.
That should just disappear, I think.
So true, so true. Guilt is big.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ugh, yes. So you're really involved in some big projects right now. And before we go there, like, tell me about your company and your skincare mission, because it's such a big thing. You know, it's a family business, as I understood,
yeah.
But it's also like a big innovative company. So tell me how you got involved in that and how does it feel to run such a multi-international company?
You know, I can say that I work with two women who are my sister and my mom. So we're family, and I'm so inspired by them. Our mother is just absolutely amazing, cosmic woman. Very strong and very loving. My sister is also a great entrepreneur. I admire her so much. So yes, our company was started in 2008. We started with mineral makeup from US. So we actually brought this topic to Estonia. Before that, it was, you know, this philosophy was not very widespread, that you actually have to take care of your beauty and think, what are the ingredients, about your health, the consequences. So people have that culture that they everything should be very nice, like the packaging, it should be like prestigious brands, but nobody at that time actually looked. Maybe in US and Europe it was more widespread, you know, that okay, there should not be talc in your powder, there should not be some emulsifiers or some synthetic or parabens or whatever. Yes, there are many ingredients. So this is a culture. Yes, like a culture, how I treat myself. So approach to food and approach to skincare. So we started from safe makeup that takes care of the skin instead of just like applying makeup and that's it. We actually help even with those products. A lot of people had acne because that those products contain zinc. And believe me or not, even applying that mineral powder was making already a miracle. And many people were just very thankful. Then we have amazing technology from South Korea. It's an intellectual nanotechnology. It's actually non-invasive anti-aging set of procedures. So you can sustain your youth, beauty by programming your natural processes in skin. So not like injecting or using some machines that are artificial and that make actually more damage rather than good. So these technologies actually awaken everything healthy, all resources which are in our skin, and our skin really starts glowing and living like a new life. And it helps teenagers, it helps women, it helps men. Absolutely, really amazing technology, and you don't feel anything. So it's literally like an airflow. Mm. And this machine, when you work, there are nanomolecules in those serums. So with this flow, which is very strong, actually the nanomolecules penetrate to the dermal level, and they work as, let's say, invasive mesotherapy, but we don't inject anything and it's all natural. So then we work with a Greek monastery in there are monks who work and make amazing ointments and creams, and they pray when they do that. And these recipes are 1,000 years old.
Without wow. Change.
Yes. So that's, I think that's a more, even it's a skincare and very effective one, but it's more spiritual mission as well, because we support the monastery, and at the same time, this knowledge is spread further on, because these are really ancient recipes.
Mm.
So, and the fourth thing what we do is a laboratory, which is called the World of Beauty. It's based in Italy. Absolutely amazing women. They were just visiting us just a few weeks ago. We were so inspired. It's also family business. And they work also since the 60s on research, how to improve skin DNA. So they work also, especially with people who have very, very, very problem skin. And it's the blend, very unique philosophy, the blend of Ayurvedic knowledge
wow.
and new laboratory technologies. So you basically, an aromatherapy. So once you apply all those products, you actually also inhale different blends of essential oils as well. So they call it like neurocosmetics. So it affects first your state of being, yes, like how you feel mentally. And the owner, she taught us actually a great thing, that our skin also reflects our mental state. So our skin looks bad, yes, when we actually in depression, yes, or we feel imbalanced. So it doesn't matter how many creams we shall apply to ourselves, but if our state is imbalanced, so our appearance is not gonna change by any miraculous product. So that's what we do. We have a great place in Tallinn, and we work with also B2B, like business people. Yes, we have a lot of partners, and we are looking for partners actually, maybe in Sweden as well. And but we also accept clients, then everybody know that they can come, whatever they feel for, ask us questions, talk to us, and we always find a great, safe and very healthy solution because we really, really work from the heart. So it's not a commercial beauty salon, I guess.
So cool.
That's
so
what
cool.
we do on a daily basis, yeah.
So it's you, your mom and your sister. How many people are employed in Tallinn?
Oh, wait, of course, yes. We have more people. We have ladies who work in the office. We have cosmetologists. We have also one gentleman who is my sister's husband. He's also a very important part of our team. But mostly we have partners. So we have like a head office, but then we have like partners spread all over Europe and Estonia.
Right.
So we work, yes, with Germany, England, France. Actually, we don't have, yes, maybe big partners in Sweden.
Nice. Swedish people, you know, like this is an important mission. So if we have any really amazing Swedish people who would love to partner.
We would love to.
Yes.
Absolutely. We would love to. We would love to.
Such an important perspective. I think, like, you know, thinking holistically about also cosmetics, how they affect you on a holistic, on cell levels, you know, I think
yes.
What you said, it's so, so important because I see now my 16-year-old, she started to use makeup and it's like, she would use brands, like you said, like brands, because it's like, you know, it has
yes.
to be a, you know, we have Bianca Ingrosso, and I'm, you know, like she would just launch her.
It's
like, you're right. So it's like
<Popping. laughs>
it has to be this, you know, popular without even questioning. You know, is this healthy for my skin? Is this, you know? And we had this conversation. You know, more you apply like something that is unhealthy, like more unhealthy your skin will be. And I think it starts with that awareness of really at young age. I remember I didn't use makeup until I was 27 or 28, you know, like now, like these young ladies, like they are using makeup at age of 12, 13, and it's so unhealthy. Imagine like what happens in a age of 10 years, like when they are 22, 23, their skin gets so damaged. And it's so important to spread the awareness of you know, of a safe products that are healthy and how they affect our inner being, inner state.
It's true. For example, I always think why we as an adults offer our children actually the worst. Look, when our children go to with us, let's say children's menu, what is children's menu? Sausage, hamburger, and some crap.
Meatballs.
Yes, but we eat healthy. We stuff in ourselves healthy things. Then when our girls, I have some, but I know a lot of small girls. So when they grow up, like you say, they are 12, 13, then mother says, okay, just go to, I will not say the brands, yes, go there and buy that cheap. She's a little girl, so why we need to invest in her makeup? So let's let her buy that cheap concealer or lipstick. But we don't think that this is their health. This clean, pure child's body already absorbs tons of heavy metals,
toxins,
cancerogenic ingredients. So instead of saying, here you are, this is a very safe product which will not go into your blood flow and so on. So we just say, okay, let them stuff themselves really with bad things. And that's actually what was our mission. And we have a lot of moms and daughters that come and we show them those mineral powders, which imagine it have just four ingredients. So it's absolutely safe and even actually good because it protects the skin as well. And we have like pigments, which they can play with. So it's literally pure mineral pigments. So you blend it with, I don't know, like some kind of transparent balm, and you will get a lipstick. Yes, with water, you will get a liner. So imagine how playful it is, unhealthy, the most important. So why we think in a very pervert way that we have like to, I don't know, make economy on our children.
Right.
We have to teach them this approach that when they go to the store, they read ingredients also with food, yes? Because sometimes, for example, we have jam on the shelf. The price is the same, but I can read and I see in one there is like stabilizer and a lot of preservatives. In another one with the same price, there is nothing besides, let's say, sugar and berries and pectin. So I'm going to choose that one. So why not with the skincare? Why not with cosmetics?
Yeah,
why?
Making...
Because the research shows actually that there is a strong bond between, let's say, talc and cancer. Yes?
Yeah.
Before, we even didn't know that everybody were like using talc for babies. Yes? Mineral
yes.
oil, yes? Like all those baby oils. So we really need like dark ages.
Awareness, and I think, like, you know, sometimes we feel like in this day and age of information, people are informed, but they're not.
Yeah.
People don't actually take time to get to make an informed decision. It's like it's so such a fast, rapid world, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna, it's so crazy that we're gonna deal with the circumstances or with the disease or with cancer when it comes. Why not taking the time to actually invest in your health? Health is your wealth. Like, and I'm thinking, you know, so much preventive prevention can be done just by making these informed decisions. And it's so important. This is so, so important to spread this awareness.
It's true. It's true. And I think at least if we, let's say, help somebody to know something useful that will in the future save his health, I think we have done something good for this world.
So, so, so important. Yeah, it starts with us. You also have a very, very incredible project going on, and it's called World of Women, right? The World of a Woman. And tell us, what is that all about?
It's actually a series of short films, allegorical films about, as I call it, the journey of a woman's soul. Like, it's actually, let's say, films, reflections of what the woman may experience, what she feels, what are her, like, what is her path. So it's not like illustration of like, how to say it. It's more like inner state of like emotional state or spiritual. But it looks, I think, more like a little bit of the, like a fairy tale. So allegory. Last year we released the first episode. It was based actually on a jazz song, which is called If You Go Away. As I like to sing, or I may call myself a singer, so it was, the essential was the song. And then we made a story about a woman who experienced certain things. People can check it on YouTube and see by themselves, because everybody have different contradictory opinions on this piece. So it was more like a longer music video. But this film, which is episode 2, it's a feature film. It's a short film. It's meant to be 20, 25 minutes. And it shows us the path of the woman from the times of Eve to modern times. So what she was experiencing. So we shall have like two storylines, the modern times and ancient times. And we shall see what, let's say, spiritual adventures this woman was experiencing during this, like, let's say, thousands of years. So, and now here she is. So, and it doesn't matter that, it doesn't mean that it will be like a very, let's say, beautiful film. No, there will be dual pictures of her, so she can be very loving, but at the same time, there is one sujet, maybe we shall make it. She was deceived by her man, and she turns to a warrior and a killer. Mm-hmm. So there are different emotions in us. And what I want to show that the world is very dual, yes? And
yeah.
It's dual. So in every woman and every person, there are really two sides, always black and white and gray. There are different emotions, and everything is existing, and it's okay to go through that. And sometimes we don't even have understanding what we're experiencing right now, but it's also okay not to know.
Right. Ooh, so many good stuff here. You guys, we're going to post in the show notes where you can check about her cosmetic and about the film. And now I want to go into this, what you just said, duality. And also the fact that we don't need to know. Sometimes we are just obsessed with this idea that we need to know something. Duality, I think when you said like there's this woman who, she was beautiful and she had this light in herself, she was loving, and then she became a monster and she shows all her shadows.
Yes.
For me, my path was when I started to discover my shadows. I still remember the day when I asked, it was actually in Tallinn, 2022, I asked one of my friends, and I said, very good friend, I asked her, Anna, tell me. And she loves me so much. She's such a loving person. And I said to her, tell me, what are my shadows? And she was like, Dee, but I love you. You know, you're just so amazing. And I was like, no, tell me, like, what it is, like, what is the darkness? And she's like, she was kind of holding herself back because she didn't want to say. She's like, okay, I'm going to tell you, like, you're so controlling and manipulative. And I was like, wow, like, you know, thank you for sharing that, you know. Because I didn't even realize that I have this strong urge of I need to control things. I need things to be my way, certain way. Yeah. And I can't. And she really perceived that. And a lot of people perceived that, but they were not, they didn't want to share that with me, you know. And I needed to work. And what happened, I needed to really not to judge that controlling and manipulative bitch. I'm just going to say it. I needed to be so loving towards her and understand where she, because she's not going to disappear. That's just how it is. That mm-hmm. part of me is still present. But also, how can I play with that part of me, that it's not light, that it's not love? So tell me, like, how do you see, what are some of the things that you're experiencing when you're working on these projects, when you're working with women? What is the play in duality? How do you experience it?
You know, when we were talking now about the shadow, actually, in my film starts with the scene with Eve, but there will be a shadow of her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pronounce the name now. And mm-hmm. I hope I invite you to the premiere when everything is finished and you will see who is this woman.
Amazing.
So there is a definite shadow of Eve in that scene, and this shadow continues through the
Follow
whole
her.
Message. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think each of us has different triggers, yes? For some person, it's work, yes, or home. Or for me, for example, I think it's creative career that triggered certain things, and, of course, relationship with men. So all of them, all these factors sometimes show us in critical situations, yes, our shadows and our emotions. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm a very kind, loving girl, but actually I can experience very dark feelings as well. Yes. And in the beginning, I think each person is afraid of that. But then it's up to you and your spiritual strength, how you really face it, first of all. Because when you neglect it, then it spreads and it can really absorb you. But once you see it and you admit and say, okay, I'm actually, I don't want to pronounce the word, but I'm this blah, blah, blah in this situation. So I have to face it. Actually, in business as well, for example, in family business, there can be many challenges, yes, especially when you are also relatives, when you love each other and you have to work. And we all are so different. So sometimes you really have very mixed emotions during the working process. And you also have to stop and admit that, okay, now I see this shadow and I have to do something with it. And maybe it takes a very long time for this transformation. But if the person, so the core thing, I think, that to admit and see and be honest with yourself, so then transformation definitely will come. I believe in that, at least.
Yeah, right. Because as I said, I didn't know like that people actually perceived me like that, you know, controlling, like, what do you mean? But once you go deep into this, like, you notice, oh, that was a pattern. Like, I had this. It's a beautiful, I think, like, people are so afraid to get to know themselves, to go deeper, right? Because it's like, yeah, it's so good to be loving, but you're actually bypassing the whole you, the spiritual being that you are, because we all have both sides, and you're not admitting yourself that you have also this side. It's like you are almost not acknowledging your existence, and it's like mask, you're hiding, right? You're not coming fully out to the world. That's how I feel that, for me, like, really digging into this and then breaking all the masks, this is my authentic, my true self-expressed me. I have nothing to hide. I'm this and I'm this. You can take it all or you don't need to take it. And going through that path of, oh, I realize where this pattern was actually, because I was hiding it and blocking it, where it cost me so much of loving relationships because I didn't acknowledge it, where I was really sabotaging a relationship with my mom, with my dad, with my brother, with my sister, with my ex-husband, like, where this really came in fruition, where I didn't acknowledge that I am controlling because I wanted to be right. Manipulating the things, you know, it's yeah. But also, like, yeah, in some parts, I when I acknowledge it, I see now how I can be a better person because of that.
I think so, yes. Once we all meet our negative side and really meet and, like, welcome it, then we become a better person. It's true. But it's a very difficult in the beginning.
It is.
And
it
of
is.
course, yes, we are. That's great that your friends were honest with you, because sometimes I dig a lot into myself, but still, yes, we cannot see ourselves from the outside. And I still have a lot of questions, like how people sometimes they behave in a certain way, and I question myself, but why this happened? I'm actually this and this and that. I'm very open and this. And actually, after our event, one person wrote to me in message, and I was very, I don't know, overwhelmed. And he said to me, you know, there were people around you who were afraid to talk to you. And I was so, maybe, not shocked, because I heard that before.
But that's confidence, right? Yeah.
And I was thinking that that question, I hear it often, and I don't feel like confident, or I don't feel anything, you know? So maybe people see us from absolutely different angle, and we don't know about that. We're not alone.
Because here's the thing, how I actually saw you, you're like very, very quiet and but it, there's the, this energy and there's this like presence of yours. Your aura is so confident and strong. And sometimes people think like you have to be Tony Robbins' character, loud and big to take up the space. We women have different kind of energy. We have aura and karma that it's very subtle, but it comes from within, that it's really, really powerful. And a lot of people who don't have that, especially men, they are afraid of that. Because it's not about, we women can't physically be strong. That just, ergonomically, we are not, physically, we are not made to be strong, like physically. Men will always be more stronger. We have the power within. It's the Shakti power, the Kundalini that is activated, that literally can swipe off any man off their feet. Like when you have that power within, that's what makes you strong. And this is what, even before you went on a stage and sing, I was like, who is this woman? Like I felt like the whole earth was shaking. Like I'm so intuitive and I feel like this thing, but you were just there. You were just sitting and then, you know, like you were in your own. I was like, I need to meet this person. Like she's so, so amazing. And it's not that you feel confidence. You have this inner strength. That really your embodied strength. That's how I see you.
Wow,
yeah.
You know, that's so amazing. But as your podcast is very honest, you know, I can tell you one thing about being confident. You know, I lost my career due to stage fright. I couldn't go on stage. There was a certain period of time, and actually it's connected with also personal relationship and creative relationship. As always in people's world who are creative, there are, everything is mixed up, blended, human relationship, creative work. And there was a time when I believed to a person that I'm nothing. I cannot do anything. And I was young, and I believed that because he was an authority for me. And I just started feeling that I cannot go on stage. I don't hear the music. I don't enjoy anything. And it costed me many years to at least open the door again, write song or do something. So when you say this to me, I really want to cry, because these people who see us sometimes, they don't know what this person was going through. And I'm grateful that the projection right now is like that, but the path to that, and it's still, I'm still on that path, is very, very difficult.
I have like chills on my in my body, like, yeah. And as you say, you know, to one thing is like we only see the person in front of you, in front of us, and we don't never ask, like, yeah, what you said. This is not an overnight success. It takes years and years and years to become an overnight success. And sometimes we don't even realize what happened with my book. It was also, like I said, it was so effortless to actually publish this. And one of my friends said, no, it took you years and years and years and years to become this person that was able to actually publish that. Yeah, maybe it took five minutes to actually do it physically.
Yes.
But it took you so much to come. Not everyone does that, you know. So it's like, yeah, I want to acknowledge you. Like it's not easy, or it appears effortless to be on the stage and to sing. But yeah, it definitely takes so much inner work.
Especially when you've been somewhere else. Yes, in the dark, And before, maybe I would not share that with somebody. But today, I know that the biggest seger in Swedish, the biggest
Victory.
victory is actually over yourself. And I know that we fight with our inner fears and demons every day. And those people who overcome this, it's already they are the winners, even if it's not noticeable for the outer world, but they are the winners. I know that. I know that.
Wow. Yeah, talking about fears. Before we wrap up with the last question, I want to ask you, so what would be the message for women to stand stronger, to be stronger? What would you say to them?
I think, oh my God, you see that I am speechless now. I became overwhelmed by myself by working with these emotions. I think it's this, yes, not to be afraid to see your darker side, weaker side, to acknowledge all your aspects and never, never give up. So even if you really, even if you fall or stumble, or if now it sounds like a song, but you really make small, small steps, even if they are unknown. Yes, even if you don't know like what is next, but you have certain direction, you just go and go, slowly go, and never let go love. Love is a very, how to say, broad meaning, yes? So find love towards yourself. This is the most difficult for all of us. And if when somebody hurts you, really, really try to find love to this person, at least after some time. Really, love and forgiveness. Yes.
Oh, I love that you mentioned that. This is, and it's, you know, when you put it like this, it comes down to that. It really comes down to that, opening your heart chakra and be in the state of love, regardless.
It's true. It's actually, again, these are the words that everybody like
knows,
constantly talk about and know, and sometimes we're even sick of it. Oh, find love, open your chakra, love. But in reality, it is the only mechanism of survival. Yes, like to forgive yourself for your mistakes, because sometimes we can even get sick physically, and we know that, because we cannot forgive ourselves for the things that we've done to ourselves, first of all. And
so
then, yes, that we actually don't love ourselves. We
so
think
much
we
judgment.
Don't deserve that. We're not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
strong. So strong. Finding love, compassion, and forgiveness. Like that's the path.
Yes, within yourself. Yes. Otherwise, there is just an edge to the darkness.
Yeah, and this is so good that you say, like, start with yourself, because how can you even love someone else if you don't love yourself? Because we are, if we go like even beyond anything on a physical realm, like, we are one. You're me and I'm you. Like, we are mirrors of each other. And if I don't love myself, how can I possibly love you? So it starts always with us.
That's actually true. You know, I realized that, I mean, I knew that, but I realized that with my body not very long time ago, actually, that there were certain things going on around me, and I couldn't get it. Like, I was, again, like, what's going on? What's going on? And because if you are not changing something inside you, so the projection of the outer world is exactly who you are. And that's what we actually have to accept. Sometimes we don't know what to change, yes, but definitely it is. Like when the person asks, What is wrong with me? Why people don't want like to talk to me or work with me or do things? Then first of all, you have to ask yourself, like, yes,
So true.
that's
We are always reflection of each other, and it's so important to be discerning with ourselves, and just
yes.
where is my role in all of this, in any relation? Ooh, so good. Like, yeah, I think this you nailed it. Like, I love accepting our darkness, and really being compassionate, having grace towards ourselves. So good.
Yeah, actually, you see, it's very interesting. Like, by what is the main motive of our conversation? It became, yes, like strange as it sounds, like accepting your darkness leads to goodness. To be, yes, it's very kind of uncommon, and that's where I am now with the film. And I think this film is also like a part of also my own thinking, yes, like a thinking process. And I was admitting, actually, it's a good thing to know actually the worst and darkest things about yourself. And it is the way to, I hope to really enlighten and be a better person.
We are always, there's not a linear path to this. We are always growing, and if you're not growing, you're dying. So working on yourself every single day, like you said, overcoming these fears, it is about that. And talking about fears, I want to know if you could share a story. What was one of the biggest fears that you needed to overcome to now look back and say, holy shit, I did this. And it's such a
Yeah.
success.
You know, one of them I shared, yes, it was a stage fright and this thing, which took, and still I'm working on that. But another, the biggest achievement for me, you know, I think many women who have children will understand that. Because when I got my child, there's something happened to me. So I think either it's a big stress, hormones, and so I started developing very, it's like a postnatal depression with a lot of fears, with a lot of bad thoughts that something can happen to my son or I can cause some damage to him, or you know, because everything was imbalanced. At that time I lost kind of my the creative activity, access to stage. So I moved to Sweden, and so everything was alien and in conflict with my inner self. So I think my darker side started protesting. My shadow started protesting. I don't want this life. I want to go back to where I was. But at that time, I couldn't understand that. I thought that something was like I was possessed by, I don't know, some dark spirit creature or whatever, or just gone crazy. So each day I thought that something would happen to my son or I do something to him. So each day I woke up and I worked so hard to kind of work with the, here you have an angel, here you have the devil, you know, and you have this dialogue daily. And you have this creature which you love most in the world. This is the most precious that you have. And imagine that you have all those thoughts in your head. And I lived with those thoughts for a few years. Very long time. And I remember that there were different specialists. They said to me, oh, you have to do this, you have to take tablets, you have to do blah, blah, blah. So I refused from everything. I just worked with mental techniques. With mental techniques and like believing in certain things. And at the end of the day, with help, of course, of let's say spiritual guidance, I got rid of that. But it was like really terrible. The fright of, let's say, for your child. And that is the biggest victory for me, spiritual. And I feel strong that I could talk to my inner, let's say, shadows.
Wow, like thank you for sharing. And definitely it is, you know, it's so funny that I talked yesterday with one of my clients about that responsibility, how afraid we are about and this is a huge responsibility to our kids, you know, because she decided not to have kids and we went through this conversation. And I said, you know, I didn't grew up with the it was a very difficult childhood, and I turned out okay. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a perfect pa parent. I screw up many, many times, but it's this, you know, allowing our kids to be their individual, unique self. And not trying to, this comes the controlling part, not control their growth, their spiritual awakening, or whatever needs to be, just to be spirits, free spirits, as they are. I think, you know, I learned this in Sweden because here kids, you know, jump on the trees and they are barefoot and they, you know, so much liberation. In my country, it's not like, it's always like, watch out, you know,
Slavic
and
kind of
this, you're
thing.
right, and this fear, like I need to constantly watch and be afraid and control if my kid is gonna fall or they're gonna freeze outside in the stroller when they sleep in the preschool, you know, like no, don't be like, so working with fears around our kids, it is existential. It's so existential, and I just want to acknowledge you for talking about this. It's so, so big.
It's very, yes, big responsibility. And I also may say that there are a lot of mothers, including me. Sometimes they have a thought that they are bad mothers, but actually they're very good mothers because there is to be, I think a good mother doesn't mean that you are this kind of hen that jumps around her chickens and like you say all the time, like, oh, don't do this. Oh, here you have the porridge. Oh, ooh. To be a good mother is to be strong enough to let go, for example, your child when he has a certain choice. It is very, you have to be very strong when your child, let's say, says to you, oh, I want to like move with my father or be with him. And so sometimes women perceive them as, let's say, not very good mothers, not good enough because they don't fit that, let's say, social pattern, how the mother should be. And I also gone through this path, and today I know that I'm a great mother because I love my child so much and I admire him. He's amazing, talented, young man. I honestly admire him, not like a mother, you know. I really sometimes look at him with my open mouth and I respect him and I want to give him freedom. And to reach there, you have to be, you have to really make a certain path to understand and that you are a good mother, even if you are not the mom who makes a great, I don't know, porridge or. Or sitting and playing with your child all the time, or whatever it's required.
That's so strong. That's so strong, Oksana. Like, really, that's so strong. Such a strong message. Yeah. You know, going back to that love, just, you know, our kids, most of the time, they just need to feel, not most of the time, but they need to feel loved and supported. That's
Yes.
the greatest gift that we can give them, you know, and respect them as individuals and little humanoids, that they have their own brain and their own heart and their own mind, you
And they're
know.
very wise. They're very wise
Right.
and clever. They are individuals already from the very beginning.
Yes. Oh, such a strong message, really. I want to thank you for your time. I know that you're super busy and we went over the time, but I really, really, really love your story and I love how you see the world, and I'm so, so grateful, really.
I'm so grateful to you, Diana, and I so appreciate for this talk. Actually, I'm a bit, you know, touched now by these emotions. You know, if you allow me, I just say one thing that in the beginning we talked about film, and we are women who support each other. You know, there is a crowdfunding campaign right now going to support this film. It's based on an Estonian platform, but everybody who would like to join this project, and I can give the details so they can be also like they target in the creation of this film. Mm-hmm. So whoever in Sweden would like to support, you know, what we do, and actually part of the team is from Sweden. I have my partner who plays with me, he's from Sweden. Then we have a composer, she's from Argentina though. And we have a person with costumes also who's based in Sweden. So I would be very happy to welcome to our creation team people who would like to support the project.
And amazing.
This message at the end of the day will raise some emotions and thoughts.
Mm-hmm. It's a big project. It's a really, really big project. And I guys, we're going to put the link how you can contribute and how you can participate and co-create with I'm just blown away now. My mind is now going into a different direction how we can do this. But I know that there are like amazing people, not just in Sweden. This podcast is listened in globally. So whoever feels called to collaborate, we're going to put all the details in the show notes, and please like get involved. Share your creative outlets and let's share the love.
Oh God, thank you. What an amazing beginning of the day.
Right? Does it get any better than this?
Thank you, Diana. Thank you
so much. You guys, check the show notes. Don't forget to participate, to share. Have fun and don't forget to be awesome. Ciao.
My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you and I am so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/forward insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you and I'm so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.